Kia ora, greetings and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. This morning we are going to continue the discussion on ways to mobilise people wherever they may be to become aware and involve themselves in sovereignty, governance and democracy. Here we are today in Auckland, New Zealand, and we are just 5 weeks away from the shortest day of the year, and the weather is beautiful. Fine days of blue skies, very mild temperatures, and with a few showers of rain, we are still in the grips of drought. That is uncharacteristic of northern New Zealand. With climate change converging on economic dysfunctionality and societal distress and disquiet, we as a humanity in this country and overseas are in the throes of our wake-up call to find resolution to these many upwelling challenges. So how do humans empower each other and live in peaceful community and concord? And what are the fair and balanced ways towards governance and shaping our destiny and collective future? As the first major country on Earth to give Indigenous peoples the choice to vote in 1868, and then finally women in 1893, we here in New Zealand could be seen as the oldest democracy on Earth. But now Wellington, where our seat of government is today dismantling democracy by dissolving democratic process in both Auckland and Canterbury, and hardly a murmur from the judiciary or the lawmakers. Where once we could be proud of New Zealand as a young democracy and a moral force for good, we are now faced with losing face as our government, for example, lets whaling as a free option and allowing overseas countries to buy land in New Zealand virtually at will. We are also being faced with Orwellian security and intelligence legislation when, as a small peaceful country with very secure borders, is giving concern to the law society and even the Chief Justice of this country. We are also having our hand forced by the Australian TGA or Codex Enforcement, virtually banning all natural health remedies and supplements if you are unable to afford the extremely expensive compliance costs. And then there's the issue of undermining our national parks, and the list goes on. So the question is, what are we bequeathing our children and grandchildren? Why are we as a community giving our power away to unelected commissioners? Why are we barely making an effort to get out and vote, particularly in local body elections? When, of course, we inherently know that accountability and responsibility are, in essence, universal laws. The old adage that we get the government we deserve could haunt us individually and as a community for years to come once we allow outside forces to take control. Of course, the powers that be can rightly stand up and say, because you as an electorate were too slack and lazy to involve yourself at even the most basic level of democracy, there was a need for a very focused strategy to take control and force the issue for both a decision and action, even if it is seen as quite possibly detrimental to the aspirations of a community as a whole, either in the short term or the long term. That is how it is. So what is it to be when it comes to governance, sovereignty and democracy? It has always been in our hands, but for how long? It's your choice, so what are you choosing for your children and generations to come? In the studio this morning, I have Vincent Eastwood, who is Mr. News and part of New Zealand's very independent alternative media. His website is gorillamedia.co.nz. And Dana Stewart, researcher of raw food and independent film director of Real and Raw, her website, fruitforourchildren.com, and Martin Adlington, who is an environmental artist and expert on consumerism and the massive waste of consumption. His website, martinadlington.webs.com. Kia ora, guys. Thank you for coming in.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Tim.
Kia ora, thank you.
Now, we should probably get into this quite straightforwardly. Here's the problem. We don't have a participation of the masses of people who are directly affected by government legislation, correct?
Correct.
If participation is what they now do, all these problems that we have with the search and surveillance, the climate change, all of that disappears. I've been talking to some people and they feel that only, 14% of people are capable of actually getting off their keister and doing something about the world, which to me is actually quite encouraging because, after all, never underestimate the small, determined minority. I mean, just look at the National Party, you know, there's only 100 of them and they're taking over the whole country hand over fist. Okay, so it's no stretch of the imagination to think that enlightened activists like ourselves and people who know what is going on can fight these terrible crimes and awake people up. Personally, being an alternative media junkie oriented, I like the idea of using the media for what it was originally intended, to be the watchdog of the wealthy and the powerful and the politicians. If we can, and this is mirrored around the world by people like Charlie Veach from the Love Police and We Are Change from the United States, we have to kind of approach our politicians as though they are regular servants to us, and we have to treat them as such and ask them dignified questions in a respectful manner in order to ascertain the information we need. For instance, I recently went to a Super City meeting where Phil Goff went off for about an hour and a half in deploring and being very specific in his criticism of the Super City legislation and the way the government's pushing it through. However, when I asked him would he guarantee the people of Auckland their right to a binding public poll vote, he dodged the question. He says, oh, yes, I'd really much like to do that. So it tells me one thing, that we have kind of what you call controlled opposition in this country, where the main opposition to the government will, in fact, be so similar to the government in their scale and scope and methodology of doing things that it becomes a non-choice. And what we've got in this country is what you call a central control government, where the vast majority of the parliamentarians are basically the same people and they get most of the votes, and it's a very small minority viewpoint that they have. And they've just convinced all the people who they betray to vote for them. That needs to change. And the only way to do it, I think, is by exposing them and basically taking over the media itself.
I think one of the best things that anyone can do is take self-responsibility. And we put all this honour into our politicians and hoping that they're going to make a change for us, when at the beginning of the day we need to stand up and say, I'm worth it, I'm worth the change. And what is it that I'm fighting against? Is it fighting against a politician who enforces something upon me, or am I fighting against something that I do in my everyday life? And to feel disempowered by a politician, I absolutely refuse to do, because my daily life is controlled by me. And things like the food that you eat, the job that you do, and different sorts of things is your responsibility. And there's always a time when you act in fear and think, oh my goodness, if I don't do this, how am I going to feed myself or my family and pay the rent? And I think that's what it's coming down to. People are awake and they do know, and they feel completely unempowered to actually make any change because they've got kids. They want to feed them. They want to pay the mortgage and continue. So we need to look at ways that we can make small changes, which actually make really big changes, because on a whole, when the population works together, we are very, very, very powerful. And that's what we have been led to not believe in.
Well, to me, the notion that we live in a democracy has always been a complete and utter myth, and the notion of public service being a service has always been an entire joke. We can see at the moment now with the stoush, with the alcohol industry and the laws against tobacco that have just come in, the difference. The tobacco industry was once very powerful in their submissions to government and they gave a lot of money to government. They're finished as a force, so Key was able to bring in very strong laws against tobacco use or to put the price up easily, but he's backpedaled very quickly with the alcohol issue. And obviously the big money from the alcohol people are saying they don't want any change. So we can see here that the notion of democracy is a total myth. The government is actually controlled by very powerful vested interests, and this of course comes through very, very plainly from the actions of the ACT Party, who have always been acting for big business and selling the country out from under our feet.
Privatisation is somewhat rampant, isn't it? I mean, I was looking over the list of the laws that Nationals passed and the list of the funding that they've cut just since they've been, and it's a laundry list of things. They've cut funding to 670 schools who are growing organic gardens. They've cut funding to the Business Sustainability Program. They've cut funding to the Māori Law Centre. They've cut funding to biking and walking programs. They've cut funding to, well, you know, basically you name it. If it does good for the people, it's been cut.
What are you saying, that the government doesn't care?
No. I'm not saying that the government doesn't care. I'm saying that they really want to kill us all. you know, I mean, let's face it, let's just accept what you know. The government has, on a very rare occasion, done something that's actually good for the people. The government, however, on many occasions, has said they're going to do good for the people and done the exact opposite. When Rodney Hyde tells me that he wants to make Auckland the best super city in the world, and then he doesn't tell me that the way he's planning to do that is by selling Auckland basically to Veolia, the world's largest water retailer, I think to myself, you know what, I think there's an intent behind this, and it's inescapable because it's just so obvious. The monstrousness of the lie, if monstrousness is even a word, it should be one because it describes Rodney Hyde relatively well. The little rumpelstiltskin man, Rodney Hyde, thank you very much for selling
this. I think one of the things that Rodney Hyde stands for, though, is self-empowerment. And he says, do not wait for government to make change in your life. So although he's, if you watch our film, Rel and Roy, he states that very clearly. Do not wait for a politician to make change that you can make in your own life. And, yeah, okay, they're selling off all our assets, but they can't sell your own self-sovereignty, the ability and right to rule over your own life and what you do in it. And I think when people stand up and realise that, it is a very empowering experience to have people like John Key, to have people like Rodney Hyde stand up and say, hey, I'm going to do all this stuff, and you people are just down there and you can listen to me and I'm the boss. It actually empowers you to go, hang on a minute, I'm going to stand up for myself. And many people would just go through their lives with an experience. You wake up, you go to work, blah, blah, blah. You reach retirement, and people are generally quite bored with that. So it's actually, I find it quite an exciting thing because I get to experience different aspects of myself that I probably wouldn't have got off my ass to do if people like that weren't standing up and being the big bullies. And they are big bullies, and it's a really neat experience to stand up to someone and say, actually, you're a bully and I'm worth it, and the way you're behaving is quite disgusting, and I just want to tell you that that's my opinion. And yeah, I think if more people actually stood up, and whether it be in a personal relationship or whether it's your boss at work or whether it's some person standing on the corner and looking at you because you don't dress the right way, all these things are situations in your life that empowers yourself to become a stronger person.
Well, self-respect is that main principle, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only problem here is, of course, that a lot of people are afraid of losing their jobs. The businesses have got them into so much debt that they're actually afraid to speak out for fear of losing their income. And they're also afraid they're caught in this huge trap so that they won't stand up for their own rights. And I find that really, I see that every day when I meet people. They just don't have time to think about these issues. Yeah. They're working far more hours than what they're paid for. They come home, they're really tired. The situation throws a huge stress onto the whole family, which causes even more disruption. and then they just blob out and watch the news. So I think until we can find some way out of this control by corporate consumerism, this seems to be my big thing now. I was into recycling and art, but now I'm coming in looking at things and why are we buying all the stuff in the first place? And you can see the advertising is very pervasive. So I think although it is great to be empowered and to take action, a lot of people are in a position where they're afraid to, or they just don't have simply have time to.
I really don't see that as an excuse, though, because to base your own self-esteem and self-worth on the house that you live in, the car that you drive, and the prestigious job that you have are three things that I have learnt the hard way not to base my happiness and my self-esteem and my strengths on. And the best way to be able to do that and to make change is by changing what you put in your body, by not supporting the food industry that is killing us, and by eating fresh fruit and vegetables, which actually empower your body, designed to be the food that we eat. People think that fruits and vegetables and salad now are the garnish on the side and aren't really food. If people just for 1 week of their lives decided to eat 50% more fruit and veggies and salad in their diet, by the end of that week, they would realize how amazing they are and wouldn't tend to the excuse, oh, how am I going to pay the rent and all those things, because there are solutions. There is always a way. And by standing back and saying, no, there is no hope, hope is the only thing that we can always hold on to.
Hope is something that is you have to hold on to, because when you let go of hope, what have you got? You got nothing, right? So having an idea is good enough. There's an idea, okay, great, let's get everybody healthy. Cool. How do you fulfill that idea? Currently, society is filtered into all this consumerism and advertising and all this coercing of conformity through media. So let's say, for example, if for 1 week, you know, instead of everybody eating healthy for a diet, if for 1 week the whole media was taken over and was taken over by people like us, and we started talking about stuff like this, and it started reaching everybody, I think there'd be a drastic shift in consciousness very, very quickly. Because as Howard Zinn said, a fighter for civil rights back in the US, he says that you can topple 1,000 lies with one truth. Okay, and that's what you really have to think of. I think of myself as sort of like this, the spear of destiny, you know, to punch through all that darkness and all that stupidity and kind of reach my hand and grab the heart of whatever issue is out there and bring it out so that people can see it in the natural light. Because it is light that is the enemy of dark. You don't fight the darkness by being dark yourself. And that's why you never lose hope.
Do you think people on a mass scale are really ready to stand up and say, I am unique, I am powerful, I am amazing, I am beautiful, and all those things? People are ready?
Absolutely. Okay, because we're referring to a lot of people refer to, you know, the sleeping masses as sheeple, okay? Sheep who are being shepherded into the slaughterhouse, lambs to the slaughter, if you will. If you simply replace the shepherd and say, sorry, lambs, you're not going into the slaughterhouse, actually, there's this lovely green field out here and it's got some nice little daffodils that want your teeth all over them. It'll be all sweet. Let's say, for example, an imposter takes over Saddam Hussein or something like that, and then he starts being a really, really nice dictator. He starts taking the Chavez route and educating the people and starts giving people more rights and such along those lines. Perfectly possible, but at the same time, you need to be a good impersonator. So let's say, for instance, if I was a good impersonator of a BBC reporter, and I would say, tonight on the news, the world has suddenly taken a turn for the better as Tony Blair has committed suicide in a hotel room. You know, something along those lines. You can use the image that has been put in front of people to convince them of a lie to reflect back upon them and make them see truth. That's what I believe anyway. I could be wrong. Hope not.
Well, this is one of the good things that could come out of the current economic situation that we're in. It's become very evident that the whole thing's starting to fall apart. People have done the right thing. They've got these mortgages. They've got these, bought all this stuff. They've played the game, but all of a sudden, for no fault of their own, it's unravelling amongst them. So the lie is actually becoming exposed, it's becoming apparent. So I think the hope for us at this time is that when other people can stand up and say, well, here's an answer, here's another answer, here's another answer. The answer, there's not obviously going to be just one answer, there's going to be a multiplicity of answers, as there always is, and it's through alternative media, other points of view, telling the truth about factory farming and the food distribution chain, the truth about consumption, that people may now be ready to listen. They have to be ready to listen. And this economic collapse that we're witnessing, it's a bit like this unpronounceable volcano in Iceland. It happened once, and everybody thought, whew, that's cool, it's gone away. But they're saying now this could keep on going for 20 years. So the world is no longer what it was 2 years ago.
Two months ago.
Yeah.
I think we should probably sacrifice John Key to the volcano, see if that helps.
That's what it needs, is a sacrifice.
Yeah. Hey, and there are a plethora of banksters out there and bad, corrupt politicians that I'm sure the volcano would be pleased to dispose of for us.
Well, I think one thing that we can all do is stop judging other people for the life situation that they've found themselves in. People are forever putting themselves on the hierarchical ladder. I'm better than you because I work this job, I own this house, and I drive this car, and you're down there because you're on benefit. And it's like, well, if we were all actually of heart and had some spunk and drive in our lives, then we would actually be caring about our brothers and sisters, not just the close-knit family ones, but actually care about the fact that we can all work together as a nation and use this thing called money to house people and get good food into our lives. And then the fun begins. But we're forever squabbling over the essentials in life that we never get to expand consciousness because we're stuck down in caveman mentality.
Mm. And as Tim says, where does that leave the children? What are they going to inherit from us? What example are we setting? And they're obviously following in our footpaths. They're very young, they're very vulnerable, as we can see with the alcohol industry moving in on them now, the cell phone industry selling them a new phone every 6 months. They're caught up in this trap as much, if not more than we are. At least some of us older ones can remember back to a time when we didn't have all this stuff, but they're growing up with it. To them, this is normal. So it's going to be a very strange world for them if this stuff starts to disappear. So again, it's a very interesting thing to see it in terms of the children rather than just even ourselves.
Mm. And thinking about it, I used to work for a cell phone company, and when I was going in to sell cell phones to them, I'd also bring up an article on Infowars.com that was published in the New Delhi Times. The Australian Research Foundation declared that about 2 billion people by the year 2020 will have brain cancer as a result of electromagnetic radiation exposure, a lot from cell phones. Now, secondly, I'm talking about how we get together here, because if we're all going to be able to beat this bad, big bad system, we all need to understand what unity is, right? Unity is the points we agree, we come together, we discuss, we organise. Everything that we disagree on is completely irrelevant because we've got bigger fish to fry, bigger enemies to bust. Now, as far as tactics are concerned, I think that, like you said, it's a very complicated issue, and there's so many different things happening at all time. For every strand of hair on your head, there's some terrible thing that's aiming at you right now, right here. So if you turn yourself into, say, take the tactic of the cactus. The cactus protects itself by covering it in completely in every single spot by something sharp and spiny, so that wherever a predator or anything lands upon it, it will be pricked and possibly go away. If you can turn humanity into a cactus, where they have defensive positions taken up in consciousness as well as in behavior, you can stop any corruption from getting any worse. But as far as clobbering it goes, I'm not 100% sure. I think maybe we can just evolve out of it. If it stops growing, it starts dying, because that which doesn't adapt does not survive.
Yeah, I watched, was it Sunday last night, and they had this surveillance proposal on, and the guy that's trying to push it through Parliament, it was like it's his, he didn't care whether it was a good or a bad thing, that was his mission, and he doesn't care about anyone else, and he was driving forward and going to do it anyway. And I thought, oh my goodness, it reminds you that there's people like that out there, and which, you know, again, empowers you even more. Get up, go for a run, drink your green smoothie, plant fruit trees, and just continue to do little things to make change so that people like that can't get away with. You know, I thought, oh my goodness, they can come into your home and put a camera in there and watch you go to the toilet. And I was like, you sick, sick person.
They've already done that through our laptops. They can tap into your laptop and take photos of you in your own room.
And you don't even know.
No, the technology is... all those things transmit as well as receive. That's the really amazing thing.
Wow.
Because you see all the time when someone goes missing, they know, they can track them by where their cell phone signal's coming from.
Transparency.
Yes, completely. Because the person who was from... He was a parliamentarian in the New Zealand government who's pushing this security intelligence bill. Is he doing the bidding for his electorate? This is a question, because they're our elected servants. I missed this show. We need to know who he is. And we need to have delegation after delegation ask him to be accountable. Who's pushing this? Who's sending him all these emails? Who's the one behind this push?
Well, yeah, his electorate needs to know what he's doing, because he's doing this purportedly on their behalf. He's simply a representative of the people who've elected him. If they're not telling him this is what they want, then he shouldn't be doing this.
Power's gone to his head. Completely is misusing the trust that the people have put and given to him.
I completely disagree. This is not this is not an individual. This is a fall guy, a puppet, if you will. Okay, because the same laws, search and surveillance, have been passed all over the world. Okay, it's happening simultaneously. To think that one guy is behind it, that one guy is writing up the email, is a stupidity in the extreme.
Yeah.
You know, realize the gravity of the situation. New Zealand is not governed by New Zealanders. It is governed by the people who own New Zealand. There's not a single country in the world right now that ain't bankrupt that I can name. Okay, so who are they in debt to? They're in debt to international banks. So the international banks are the owners, they're the dictators, they're the rulers, they're the financiers.
So what do you propose, taking back ownership of the foreign reserve?
For ownership of reserve currency. Now, I thought that would be a brilliant idea if economics worked in the first place. I don't think it does. Personally, one of the interesting activist groups that I've been covering, being Mr. News at Guerrilla Media, is the Zeitgeist Movement New Zealand, the Venus Project. Now, what they've stipulated is that the general reason why humanity is getting to the point of disgusting consumerism and fighting and all of that is because of scarcity of resources and a lack of money and not a lack of resources at all, because we have the resources to feed, clothe, educate, and love every single human being on this earth without exception right now, and we could just use the US defense budget of 1 year to do it. Okay, so it's not a question of money, it's a question about resources and whether or not these resources are allocated specifically to benefit humanity. And the problem with this is the rise of technology. However, technology can be used as a great and useful tool. For instance, a car plant will become automated, 1,500 workers lose their job, and yet the car plant still continues to operate as though those 1,500 workers were working, okay? So that means, intrinsically, if you were using the resources for the benefit of the community, you could lay those 1,500 workers off and still pay them, because now a machine does their job. And you can do this with a lot of different occupations. They can simply become automated, and nobody has to actually become redundant, per se. And we have the ability to do this worldwide at a global scale, make everything completely free through the use of technology, and free up humanity. Now, some people would say that that's a really bad idea, because when you free people from their labour, the mind starts to wander. The devil loves idle hands. Me, personally, I was out of work for 9 months. 9 months. And the reason why is I could not go to a job interview. I'd have a panic attack. I quit my job because I just felt wrong about it. All the whole working system. I never wanted to be anybody's employee ever again, and I went without a job for 9 months, got massively in debt because of that belief. And here I am today, I'm on the road to recovery, and I'm not anybody's employee, I'm not anybody's slave. So self-improvement is the point of your life. If your life is about sitting around playing PlayStation, then it's not your life, it's the PlayStation game controller's life.
You're just a tool. If you use technology as your tool, rather than you being technology's tool, you can actually learn something about yourself. That's what I think. But again, I could be wrong.
Well, it always comes back to me in my work to self-responsibility. Those are the words that I keep coming up against time and time again, that people can blame other people for what's happening, but in the end we have to look in the mirror and see. I was approached recently by a waste company in Auckland to address their sales team, and I did a show and tell with my recycled artwork, and they were talking about ways of improving the company's perception in the public. And I said to them, well, why not put mirrors all over one of your trash trucks and drive it down Queen Street? Because I said, people are blaming the rubbish company for putting all the stuff in the landfill, but the people need to see that they're the ones that are producing the trash in the first place. So I suggested that putting mirrors on the truck would make people think and actually then see who was producing the trash. So in all of our discussion, I think we're all saying the same thing, that people have to realise that they can do something. It's in the small choices, like we're in the supermarket. Do they choose the packaged food or do they choose the fresh food? Do they choose to buy the LCD screen or do they choose to pull the plug on the TV aerial and not have it? It's these, and these small cumulative steps add up to eventually a sea change and a paradigm shift, because it's a paradigm shift we're facing, and either we do it willingly or we're going to be dragged kicking and screaming into a world of nightmares.
All one needs to do is provide the example of the change you want to see, really.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
I'm speaking with Vincent Eastwood, Dana Stewart and Martin Adlington regarding sovereignty, democracy and governance. So what do you think it's going to be like in 6 months' time, a year's time, 2 years' time from now? And we've all agreed that it's consciousness that has to move. We've all got to become self-aware and realise that we're all connected in a greater relationship within the biosphere. So is there any ways you think that we could, little triggers we could do, something small that could, the old story, little hinge can swing a very large door? Any ideas on this?
Learning what's going on for the first place is a good place to start, because if you don't know your enemy, you can't fight him. And the enemy itself is us. It's like that famous old quote, I've met the enemy and he is us. It's my complacency, my stupidity, my ignorance, and my ability to do something about it that matters. Nobody else. I'm responsible for myself.
Vincent, I think one thing that people really, really struggle with, though, is that there is an enemy. And, you know, my mother asks me all the time about 9/11 and these types of things. Do you really think there's someone sitting there wanting to do these destructive things? And I said, well, Mum, go back to World War II, go back to Nazi Germany, and yes, there are people who don't care about you and want you dead and don't care if you are dead or alive and are willing to make money and empower themselves with the falsities of money and prestige in that the negative sense. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a nice house and looking after yourself and having self-esteem and ego and even being vain about how beautiful we all really are. But yes, there are people out there who are evil and are destructive and are setting about to do some really nasty, destructive things.
Well, I think it's Tim's program and the likes of that are going to make a difference. These things have to be discussed and talked about. It's obviously not going to happen on the mainstream media, but now we, the small people, have these tools, independent radio stations, we have blogs, we have podcasts, we have videos. We can actually be self-representing and we can start to begin to speak a truth and let people make up their own minds for themselves to see. Perhaps someone should invent a New Zealander bullshit detector. Everybody can have one, and I'm sure it will read in the red all the time. But that's going forward. Tim, you asked that question, what's going to happen? I think either things will collapse or people will have to make some changes. And they'll have to sort of start to wake up and listen to quieter voices, other voices. But it's that responsibility. People have to take responsibility. If they don't, then the prognosis doesn't look too good.
Because transition towns here across New Zealand is an important first step. It's what we do in our own backyards. Very important, so that we at least know we can take a step out our back door and do something in our own backyard. That, I think, is important because we can grow our own food. And as you say, Dana, when we start to have power over where we're getting our sustenance, we grow within as well. We definitely do. And so I feel that transition towns is a very important first start. People have to actually throw away the remote from their TV, forget about the game, leave the fridge door closed for a wee while, and get involved in the real world. And I know, I was driving here and today and I was thinking to myself, leadership, what leadership is there in New Zealand? Where are the men leaders? There's more women leaders than men leaders in this country. And leadership is really important. And then I thought, but we have to find that we are our own leaders. We have to see that we are leading ourselves. And so there's 6.8 billion going on 6.9 billion people have the need to become their own leaders. And when we do become our own leaders, we are the second coming.
I think that notion of transition in transition towns is a really important one, because we've been brought up with this paradigm of continual progress, that the graph is always going up. But now the graph has faltered, it's stalled, and we're actually, if we can see that we're in a process of change, and change can be fantastic. I mean, a caterpillar transitions into a butterfly. So to use that kind of metaphor, and it's as Vincent said, we have to be the change that we want to see. So I think we all agree that if we can, A, we need to empower ourselves and then just live by example.
One of the things that I did was set up the charitable trust Fruit for Our Children. And as an example of empowering a nation as a whole, if every single person in New Zealand this weekend went out and planted 4 fruit trees, that's 17 million not-for-profit free fruit trees planted in our backyards and our own public parks to empower and have free, readily available, nutritious food for everyone. 4 fruit trees, it's not hard.
Mm. And also another thing that everybody can do, if anybody out there has a handy cam or something and you have a particular politician you dislike, go out there with a handy cam and ask them a really nasty question. because here's the beauty of asking a question with a camera. They have 3 reactions that they can give. Either A1, they dismiss the question, which means they're dismissive and you can't trust them. Second, they lie, which means that they're liars and you can't trust them. Thirdly, they tell the truth and they say what's really real, and in which case you can count them as an ally. That's what's so powerful about the camera. The camera is the pitchfork of the rising masses. So let's bring it on, man. You know, let's form a big mob with cameras and microphones and bring the bourgeoisie down.
Oh, absolutely. The media are so bored and they're always looking for interesting topics. Start and realise that we are the interesting people, and get yourself out there, promote yourself. And, you know, if you've got that little dream to do something like that, get out there and do it. It's the most thrilling experience.
It's very fun too.
Yeah.
I think just sharing with your friends, if you go and people have go and have a coffee somewhere, or even, believe it or not, men sitting around having a drink at a bar, they could just say, okay, let's do something different this day.
Yes.
Let's do something we've never done before. See if we can actually get a creative spark. Wasn't it Spike Mulligan? Yeah, he said, blessed are the cracked, for they are let in the light. Well, this is a situation that we're wanting not only New Zealanders, but globally, people to realise that we're in a sacred situation here at the moment. This is our destiny run. We realise that, in actual fact, for us to really get to the dream, we have to deal with a nightmare first. But once we dissolve this nightmare, then the dream of 7 billion people living happily together as one peaceful human family in a higher state of consciousness could turn everything into magic.
Personally, the only way I look at the future is with hope, because that's the only thing I can be certain that'll be there in the future for myself anyway. If you have the thought process like I do, like in history, there is actually only one moment, and it is the present moment that we're all sharing a part in for a short period of our lifetimes in relative to everything else. So if in history there is only one moment, isn't it great that we get to be a part of that moment and we all share that moment together?
I think Vincent's right. We can arm ourselves with cameras. Cameras are the new guns, they're the new weapon. And as we know, virtually everybody's reality on the planet's mediated through television. So if there are guerrilla news broadcasters on TV, it gives that authority. If it's on TV, it must be true, it must be real. That's the way we're brought up to think. So if that reality is jammed, I've called myself a culture jammer these days, which is a great notion. If we can jam the culture and broadcast the truth or just alternative viewpoints, because it's very hard to define a truth, then there is hope. There is hope for the children, and they can see the adults actually questioning and doing something. And, hey, give kids cameras and you can come up with some fantastic results as art projects on that topic have proven.
Yeah, one thing I think I'd like to leave with is seek the truth. Don't be afraid of it. Question everything. Just about everything we've been taught through our public schooling system is a lie. And just be aware of it. Just be aware of it. Seek the truth. I mean, it's hard. There's so much misinformation out there to actually spot the real people nowadays. But know in your own heart and trust in your own ability to have your own bullshit detector. If someone's telling you that eating McDonald's and having vaccines is good for you, question it. Don't just blindly be led, because 9 times out of 10 you will pay. And have faith. 6 months' time, I want to see 17 million not-for-profit fruit trees planted in this country, and really just keep going and know that each and every individual is really special and that we're all worth it.
I reckon we should combine vaccines and Maccas. I reckon a swine flu burger would taste quite nice.
Let's talk about the future, which is a microsecond, a nanosecond in front of us. Let it unfold.
Now, the future for me, I'm probably going to be sitting here in this studio in the very near future. Oh, wait, I already am. Here we go. No, but really, I think for me, I want to really develop guerrilla media. The idea of guerrilla media is to develop a network of activists. Now, activists, believe it or not, are today's reporters, okay? They're the people who do the research. They're the people that are in the thick of the propaganda and understand the ins and outs. When the mainstream news goes and question somebody, they're questioning a business leader or a politician often, or the leader of an organization. All three of those types of people have loyalties and bands to those organizations which they cannot break, so there are certain things that they aren't allowed to say. Activists, on the other hand, they have no such ties. They are a law unto themselves, and they have no pecuniary gain by telling the truth. And often the truth that they tell is what the politicians, organization reps, and business people don't want anybody to hear, and so hence they never say it. And it is that revolution that I seek to bring about, and that's what Mr. News means. I mean, I haven't actually told anybody this before. Mr. News means media revolution news, because if you can stage a revolution in the media, you'll make a revolution in the mind. So if you can, at least, I'm trying to gather this group. I've been socializing and networking with activists for quite some time, nearly 2 years now, to do this project. You know, we got radio, we got video, we got writing. Okay? That's all you really need. On top of that, I think a great idea would be a corporate model, so that you can make a corporation whose specific intention is to be anti-corporate. using the ironic mechanisms that have been placed to enslave us to actually take them over again. That's what I'd really like to do, using the very cage that has locked us all up to break out.
of it, if you will. I mean, the key here is non-violent change. You don't need to hurt anybody in order to make huge changes. Gandhi knew this, which is why he liked the idea of large-scale non-compliance. Now, thinking about history, how do successful revolutions work? I mean, my favorite three examples would be the American Revolution. Everybody got sick and tired of taxation without representation, spread a whole lot of information about, lit a fire in the minds of men, and then used a movement to overthrow a tyrant. I like that idea. Second idea was obviously Gandhi with the non-violent non-compliance, so you can put that on there. And the other revolution that I'm liking now is Hugo Chavez's one, where his specific policy, once he was elected, was to go out and educate the people about what their rights were and what a good government is supposed to do for them, and to instill a sense of honor in the population, so that when the CIA staged a coup against him, he had millions of people on the streets, and they threw out the coup leaders, and they brought him back. So not only do you need to be creative, like the American Founding Fathers, peaceful, like Gandhi, but you also need to have benevolence, like Hugo Chavez, in order to lead a peaceful revolution of any kind. And what I seek to do is just a media revolution.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic, Vincent. Well done. Yeah, very inspiring. And, yeah, once again, it all comes down to people seeking the truth and knowing it for themselves and waking up in their own sense that don't walk around with your eyes closed. Get out of your ego's way, because no matter how many times you can say to someone, cancer is curable, you don't have to be living in pain and all these things, people are so brainwashed into thinking that those things are just a normal part of life. Actually, seeing beyond the fact that sometimes we are wrong and we have to admit that, and in that admittance, you actually get to kind of advance to the next level. And by denying the people in your life and saying, and the information coming to you is like walking around with a paper bag over your head. Mm. Take the paper bag off, breathe the fresh air, just look at, you know, some basic truths. The sun is not bad for us. That's a huge campaign being blasted through our schooling system. And, you know, actually, I rang the Ministry of Education because I'd had enough of my children being told this. And the guy said to me, well, you have to take that to your principal. And I said, but you're passing it down. And he just completely passed on the responsibility. Look, I'm just paid to be here, is basically what he said. And just, you have to deal with it. And it's like, I've taught my children that at school you don't learn the truth. You don't learn the truth, and they know that, and they listen to their teachers, and they come home and they say, Mum, today they told us this, and that's just so ridiculous. It's just not the truth. And these are 6 and 9-year-old children, that a child knows the truth. Yeah, we've got PlayStation and McDonald's and all these things. They're not stupid. Give them a McDonald's and an apple, and you ask what one's healthy, they're not going to choose, you know, the McDonald's. Kids want to be out playing in the forest. They want to be climbing trees. They know that the children know what is right. And as you grow up and get more conformed and more conditioned into thinking that the way we're running society is the only way, you lose your hope, you lose your inspiration, you lose your spark, and you lose your power. And I, for one, don't want to live my life like that. So
I came up with a definition for that condition when you sort of lose that spirit and that fighting spirit, you know. It's called psychological castration.
Hmm.
You mentally had your balls cut off.
Yeah, I'm thinking over what we talked and about the future, and it has to be very much stressed that we're talking about non-violent change, because the moment we start to go down that path, or people think it's that path, it will provoke a very strong and violent reaction. I really like the idea of cameras being the new guns, because they do talk about shooting pictures, and obviously the change is going to come through alternative media, through the television, to turn the technology back onto itself. As an artist, the biggest breakthrough for me in the last 5 years has been to be able to become self-representing through online social media, and I think that if other people can learn from those lessons, that they can be self-representing, autonomous in their own lives, that's empowering, and to me, that is the hope for the future.
In a word, in a couple of words each, Vincent, Dana and Martin, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say fruit for our children. If you're not willing to plant the fruit trees, go onto our website, check us out, be part of the change that we all want to see. Fruitforourchildren.com.
I'd say shoot cameras or shoot pictures, not guns.
And your website?
www.martinadlington.webs.com.
And I say if the media won't do their job, don't get angry with them, just replace them. GorillaMedia.co.nz, Mr. News.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming in. Enthusiastic and innovative, and all we have to do is have 4.2 million New Zealanders supporting us. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
That was Vincent Eastwood, Mr. News, and Dana Stewart, independent film producer of Real and Raw, and Martin Adlington, environmental artist and expert on consumption. I would like to draw your attention to the Green Planet Earth Files. This is a section of this program that covers points of interest that you, as listeners, can become involved. This way, the Green Planet program can facilitate positive options to bring about reducing our ecological footprint, acting in truly sustainable ways, and work towards becoming more carbon neutral.
Hello everyone, this is Cherie Carberry, founding director of Conscious Woman, and I've just very synchronistically walked into the office of Planet FM, and Mr. Tim Lynch came out to see what all the palaver was going on outside, and here I am, and he was just about to make an announcement of our official launch party on Friday night, this coming Friday, 21st of May, at 6 p.m. at the Centre for Consciousness in Parnell. That's 19 Bath Street in Parnell. Now, we're a collective of women. There's 13 of us currently in the team, working in areas of consciousness across the board, from conscious relationships, conscious communication, law, accounting, communication, finance, you name it. We're like a one-stop shop for you to come in and have your issues supported and guided by our team. We officially launching this Friday night, and we have a beautiful evening created for you with entertainment, bubbles, nibbles, the presentation of our vision and what we're sharing with our community, our country, our planet ultimately. So come along, meet the team, have some fun, enjoy what we have to share with you. www.consciouswomen.co.nz, or to get your ticket, go to www.consciouswomen.eventbrite.com. Look forward to seeing you Friday.
earthwisegroup.co.nz. Something we can do is support New Zealand industry by buying New Zealand-made products and put an import tariff on imported rubbish that is promoted in our overseas-owned stores, and help promote instead Earthwise at earthwisegroup.co.nz. This group cares about you and your family, the planet, and saving our planet for future generations. They care about what you and your loved ones put on your skin and what goes into our waterways. At Earthwise, they know it is important to have a sustainable, button-powered lifestyle and want this to be easy for everyone to achieve. They are determined to select the highest possible quality products and solutions for individuals, businesses and industries, and want to include communities in the proactive movement towards healthier and more sustainable lives for all of us. Earthwise Group strives to combine the best nature has to offer with human innovative spirit and genius. Integrating these ideas into everyday choices is their mission. And finally, a New Zealand website, indymedia.org.nz. I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, indymedia.org.nz. This is an independent media centre where New Zealanders can join and publish what they feel is important news that benefits the community and educates the community. So check out Indie Media. There are some very interesting articles that could very much affect everyone here in this country and beyond. That's indymedia.org.nz, the Aotearoa Independent Media Centre. That is Earth Files for this week. I thank you for tuning into GreenPlanetFM.com, broadcasting here in Auckland and streaming out from nuclear-free New Zealand around the curve in the southern hemisphere of our magnificent home planet. The premise for this program is to uplift and mobilize consciousness and the human spirit, and discover what we can actively do at a grassroots level to promote positive and sustainable alternatives to life on Earth, particularly in the immediate environment that nourishes all of us. In doing so, I trust that you will find this program supportive and inspirational as we listen to leading-edge experts, practitioners in their field, and people who are living examples of well-being, optimism, and sustainability. From the latest environmental solutions to issues of well-being, community development, and consciousness, we take you through in-depth discussions and supplementary concepts rarely explored so comprehensively in mainstream media. Above all, we are an advocate for today's and tomorrow's children. When we consider our magnificent planet as a whole, we might realize that our perspective has only been informed and expanded for the first time since Galileo, when the Apollo space program in the 1960s took us to the moon and gave us the image of Earth floating alone in space. Now, as we pass beyond this first decade of the 21st century, humanity urgently needs to act with maturity. With easy access to knowledge and technology, and I trust, deep wisdom, will this new century mark our 21st birthday, a coming of age as an adult and mature civilization, being responsible, courageous, and compassionate, with insight, inclusiveness, and vision. For we are a young, recent, and supposedly evolving species physically on this Earth for less than 2 million years, at the evolving end of the long-term 4.5 billion year scheme of things on this planet. However, we are now in rapid growth phase as a species that in the last 50 years is reaching exponential proportions. We are learning and experiencing far more and far faster than ever before. As this pace is quickening in complexity, there's a compelling need for simplicity and unity. All of us born here on Earth have a yearning to enjoy a life of love, full of experience and fun, with both wonder and insight being part of our everyday growth. Yet, as our planet enters a cycle of unknowing challenges, we need to look deeper at the essence of life and to question how we have arrived at this particular juncture. With breakthroughs in experimental exploration, research and knowledge, while drawing on our renewed sense of intuition, we are realizing that like our own physical body, humanity is a vast, interrelated superorganism. Furthermore, we are interwoven intimately with a colossal superorganism that is Gaia, planet Earth. This living planet has loaned us bodies in which we can co-evolve with her and co-create with each other. And so we live lightly embedded within this new paradigm, the unfolding of nature. Of all the times to be alive, this is the moment for us to accelerate our awakening and cooperate with our evolution. Let us access our latent virtues, which glow within us as subatomic energy bundles of luminescence. For we are far more than we ever thought possible. We are realizing that there is as much to know in the inner world as there is in the outer world. Never before in recorded history has such an opportunity been presented for humanity both individually and en masse to cross the threshold to the inner self. Can we now, at this moment, be present to our spiritual inheritance? Can we now take a leadership role in our local community while retaining our awareness of a larger global community and our destiny beyond? This is where we are at this instant. So thank you for tuning into this GreenPlanetFM.com program. I trust you feel empowered to make a difference, to play your part in this magnificent experiment called life, as it fulfills our purpose. I look forward to interviewing another insightful and perceptual practitioner next week. I wish you success in your work and your life with your family and within your community. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha, south of the Tropic of Capricorn, saying bye-bye and haere rā.